everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and have we got a treat for you here today, because in this very podcast, we are going to kick off our season 40 deep dives, and what a great way to get it all started than with the great Kim Spradlin, who will join us. I have a video as well of this podcast, which you can check out on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. We'll have more and more of these interviews as we go along here, as we have entered the Survivor off season. Of course, if you're looking for even more Survivor coverage, I talked about all of the Ponderosa videos as well this week with Liana Boris, which you can check out on robhasawebsite.com. Not to mention, be sure to check out Robin Akiva Need a Podcast and News AF from the other day. Some people are calling this week's News AF with Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson best News AF of 2020 so far. So be on the lookout for that. Before we get to Kim, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And we are very excited to welcome back Beachbody On Demand. And what a time for Beachbody On Demand. Now, I have been using the Beachbody On Demand for years. It should come as a no surprise that we're all stuck in our homes for this bit, but you want to avoid the complacency. It's important now more than ever to stay active and keep moving, work out, and take classes in the comfort of your own home with Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is the easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to over 1,300 super-effective workouts suited for any body at any time. And the secret to getting results is just getting started. Beachbody On Demand has a history of success. This is the company who's done P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix. Now check out some of Beachbody's newest programs like the Morning Meltdown 100 and the 80 Day Obsession, and start every day strong. They've got the best programs with hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio to yoga, even dance workouts. And you can work out on your schedule with workouts as short as 10 minutes that don't require any extra equipment. I know a lot of workout equipment is hard to come by. You don't need a lot of stuff. All you need is an area in your house where you can get started. It's the best deal in fitness. Listeners to Rob as a Podcast can try it absolutely for free. I've been doing the Beachbody programs, different ones over the years. That the one I like is called Body Beast. That's one that I've done for a while, but I've checked out the different P90Xs over the years. Really fun stuff that's on there that does not take a lot of equipment to get the ball rolling. You can go ahead and give it a try for free so you can stay active during this time. Right now, our listeners get that special free trial membership when you text RHAP to 303030. So many people during this shutdown have asked me for, do you still have a code for Beachbody On Demand? Text RHAP to 303030 and you can get a special free trial membership. You'll get full access to the entire platform for free. All of the workouts, nutritional information, and support totally free. All you have to do is text RHAP to 303030. It's a great deal. Check it out. What do you have to lose? Text RHAP to 303030 to try out Beachbody On Demand. All right, everybody. I'm so excited to bring in our guest today because I have been looking forward to talking to her for so many months, that she is one of the true legends of the game, and it was our privilege to get to watch her return to Survivor here in season 40. Please welcome the winner of Survivor One World, the great Kim Spradlin is here. Kim, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. For just a second, I felt like I was the winner of Winners at War, and then I realized again that I wasn't.
You but were a winner of Winners at War.
Winning is not winning, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes losing is winning.
Sometimes. Look, some of us have won zero times, Kim.
I understand.
Every time.
I'm not trying to be ungrateful. It's really fun to talk to you. This will be like my first time to verbally process this experience in like a long chunk of time. So it'll be good.
Well, I'm so happy that you were up for doing this. I really appreciate you making some time, that you had a small window of time when your wonderful husband, Brian, was taking the kids out of the house. I said, are you sure you want to spend that time talking to me and not like taking a nap or anything?
I definitely want to talk to you. I've just like gotten out of the stage where I owe him for having left for 8 weeks for Survivor. Yes. Like I can actually do things, but for a while I couldn't even go to Target without getting in trouble. So I now have the freedom to talk to you.
Okay. Well, so happy that you're here. First, before we talk Survivor, can you tell us, give us the update? How's everything going at your house?
Yeah, it's crazy. Quarantine has been crazy. You know, I went from working and having a nanny and Brian leaving every day and giving me some space to all five of us are here all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's chaos, but yeah. It's good. And I have to say that at the end, we don't have anything you can't compare pain. I mean, yes. I do have pain in this, but it, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying.
There's varying degrees of suffering.
You don't feel well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Kim, so I guess just I have so much to talk to you about. I guess just how has this whole experience been to be a part of Winners at War, have this season, have it play out in this very unusual way with no finale? I would just love to just get your big takeaway on the whole experience.
It is hard to even know where to start. I was hoping you would tell me. Mm-hmm. It's been good. I'm glad I did it. I think it's just, you know, I mean, it's nice to have it, the loop close, even though it was weird with like no closure with the finale. I do think finales are good for that, like getting everybody together. You know, it's at the end of the show, there's all this tension. Everybody kind of leaves like still processing the way that the journey went for them. And then I feel like a year later, people are kind of back in their lives and more themselves. And I think that getting back together as a group like is good in a lot of ways. And so that not happening did feel weird, you know, not to like look the people in the face and have all the conversations and coffees. But it's good.
Yeah.
Everything's good. It was weird watching it. It's weird to, you know, have your first experience be, you know, telling of your story. And then the second time is not, and that's different. And then having everybody believe that like you're the special from, you know, all the people in my world are like, we know you're going to win. And then when I got voted out, they're like, we know you're going to get back in.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the whole time you're just like, and then people are texting you and saying, my kids are crying. They're devastated. It's like, that's what I was hoping. I made kids cry. That's a terrible thing to text someone that your kids crying when they get out, so don't do that.
Kim, did you feel a lot of pressure in terms of you know, being able to, you know, you've got so much you know, so much praise for your game in Survivor One World. Did you feel a lot of pressure going into this game because of how well you played the first time?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I decided I would be vulnerable in this conversation and not say what I know are the right answers and what would make me sound like cool, like I get it. I mean, yeah, I think I felt pressure, not so much from, I feel like it's the like really intense Survivor fans and even the players that I had this reputation with. I feel like the greater Survivor community, just people that watched, I'm kind of like a no name, like somebody they don't remember. So it was kind of a mixed bag for me, you know? I mean, in some ways I felt like I was a lesser, you know, a second tier winner. And then in some ways I knew that that wasn't people's perception of me. I think ultimately I felt pressure to myself. Like I wanted to be the one that did it. And I put a lot of my pressure on myself to win. And I went thinking I was going to win. And so when it didn't go my way, that was a bummer.
I want to skip ahead to day 39 and just talk about your decision to vote for Tony. Was that close for you between either Michelle or Natalie, or was it Tony as the winner all the way in your mind?
Yeah, I think I was pretty solid on Tony. I mean, I guess I loved Natalie. Like we spent maybe 5 days together at the edge. And I think I got just enough of the edge to like get where the people from the edge were coming from.
Yeah.
I went into the season saying, I hate the edge. I will quit. I was kind of almost like Sandra. Like I was like, the edge ruins everything. And, you know, I think a lot of people said that going in because all you know is your season that you won and you think like, oh my God, how would this feel to play this great game and then have somebody come back in and beat me at the end. And I think I was in the game long enough. I don't know what day I got out, 29, 30, this season to identify more with Tony and like what it would feel like to play a great game, which she did, and then have somebody come back in and beat you. But it was hard for me because I really liked Natalie. Like, Natalie and I really clicked. She's someone I'd like to hang out with in real life. And I think honestly, and maybe juries just do this, it kind of becomes between two people and you're almost like casting your vote for the person you want to win. It's not that people didn't love Michelle or think that she deserved votes. It just became clear that these were the two people that it was going to be between and people wanted their votes to matter.
Was there one point in this game where you felt like, okay, I've got this, things like you could start to like see the daylight?
Never. It was the opposite of last time. I mean, I think the whole time on One World, I was like, this is going really well. Like, I was just kind of waiting for someone to like trip me. And this time it was like, I could never get my head above the water. You know, I just knew it wasn't going well. I felt from the very beginning that nobody wanted to actually play with me.
Yeah.
I think I was one of those people that people really liked. And kind of once we got playing, they were like, she's pretty great. She's, you know, it'd be great to have her around. But I don't, even afterwards asking around, I think there were so few people that would have like put me on the list of people they were willing to go to the end with. And I think I just felt that the whole time, you know, no matter how hard I tried. So that was perfect.
Kim, could you talk a little bit about your prep for when you were going back the second time? Was there anything that you did differently to return and play Survivor the second time?
You know, I think it was such a big decision for me to go. Brian did not want me to go. We hemmed and hawed and it was this really hard thing. And so ultimately I decided I'm not going to spend these 2 months or whatever it is wasting my life thinking about this, trying to connect with people on this, you know, like I'm just going to do my family. I kind of put my work on pause and just tried to enjoy them so that, you know, I'd be really tired and like annoyed and pissed off as a mom when I left so that I could be like, I'm out of here, you know? And I kind of wanted to be in that headspace, like in a good space with my family where I felt like I had really poured into them. So it was very different, you know? I mean, I didn't really prep except to just, you know, enjoy them.
Do you feel like, was it a mistake to not have spent the time putting in relationship work and trying to reach out to other survivors and go into this game and have these like pre-existing pre-game alliances?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's such a tricky thing and I think it's caused a lot of tension on our season. Because I think there's definitely a group of people that didn't do that. And then there's definitely a lot of people that did. I mean, there's a really specific group of people who I think can say like, I didn't have one pre-game conversation and I'm one of those people. However, I didn't do it because I was told not to. And I was told I wasn't going to get to go on the season if they found out I was talking to anybody. And I'm somewhat of a rule follower having grown up, you know, with a coach or a dad.
Yeah.
But also I made a conscious choice about it because I thought it could bite me in the butt, you know, versus helping me too. And I think there's people that pre-gamed and it didn't go well for them. There's people that pre-gamed and it did. So I think it's a hard thing to say it did or didn't matter. You know what I mean?
But the irony is you got labeled with having a pre-game alliance. You didn't do it. You followed the rules and then you got there and they said, shame, you have a pre-game alliance. You're a poker player.
Here's the thing about the pre-game. The people who didn't pregame, me, Rob, Amber, Parv, Tyson, Ethan, right? Those were the people that were going to be left out anyway. Like those are the people that nobody really wanted to play with. So did it matter? Like, or didn't they just get a jump start on like what was going to happen anyway on day one? That's more my, so I think the poker alliance, yes, that just gave everybody something to sort of like a light on and everybody loves for it not to be them and somewhere to turn the attention. So yes, like, I was hoping that wasn't going to happen. And I was hoping I would come in and I thought I had an opportunity. I think I was even maybe a bit delusional about thinking I would sort of be middle of the pack. And I was definitely highlighted early on as somebody that people wanted to get out.
You know, I forget if this was, you said this on social media or you said this somewhere in the show, but you talked about that playing in the poker game was the biggest mistake of your life. Do you feel that way?
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have mattered. It didn't help. I mean, let's be honest. But when I went and played the poker game, I never dreamt there was going to be an all winner season or that. Yeah. I mean, that was a joke at that point, you know? So I went, I met those guys. What, you know, I was a huge fan of the show and I got called by Tyson, who I always thought was so cool when I was in college, and Boston Rob, who I, you know, had idolized, and who's not going to go and do that, you know, play a game with those guys. It sounded like such a fun thing to do. So it definitely didn't help me though.
Okay. So you arrive on Dekalb, and how quickly do you realize that you're on the outs?
Pretty quickly. I think, you know what, honestly, though, I didn't recognize, I think we had 2 or 3 days before we had to go to a tribal. Mm-hmm. And things were pretty great. Like I hit it off pretty quickly with Sophie and Yule, but nobody was talking strategy. And I know well enough to know that people are talking strategy because, you know, if you're not talking strategy with someone, then you're on the phone. So I had a feeling about that, but I don't think I was clear enough about it or careful enough about it. Like I probably spent too much time talking to Amber and laughing at Tyson's jokes. And I probably should have hit the ground running a little bit harder with Wendell and Nick and Sophie and Yule. And I think that's a, you know, hindsight thing. If I could time travel, I would definitely spend more time doing that right off the bat.
How hard was that? I think we all remember you at the end of that second hour of the first episode where you're trying so hard, like to get like, hey, I'm approaching, I'm entering this conversation. Is that okay? Is this, may I approach the room?
Somebody talk to me. It was hard, but I also wanted to highlight like the ridiculousness of it. You know, particularly Sandra was kind of doing this like high school girl thing. Like we're not talking to you and we're walking away. And I just kind of wanted to say like, y'all can talk to me. And so I just kind of kept following everyone around. And honestly, before that tribal council, 3 people pulled me aside and said, look, it's not you. It's not going to be you. It's going to be Amber. So I wrote down Amber's name and I assumed, you know, if anything, they had told her the same thing and she would write down my name. And I felt horrible for her at the time. I mean, I really did, but there was nothing I was going to do to like change that. It was, you know, pretty unanimous. So yeah, but it was a bad feeling. It was definitely not a good feeling.
And so at the time of that first episode, that Yule had posted a long tweet essay about that. And he talked about how that part of his plan and what he wanted to bring you into what they were doing. Was that something that you were like consciously aware of that? Like, okay, I'm sort of starting to get in with Yule.
Yeah, for sure. Yule and Sophie and I had had several conversations and they had said, you will be our third. We know you're not with them. I think everybody knew I wasn't going to like stake my game on my relationship with Tyson and Amber. They know I'm smarter than that. So, I mean, I was like, I'll vote whoever right now. I don't want there to be any mistake about that. And then I also kind of had that going with Wendell. You know, I mean, Wendell and I had lots of conversations early on. He was like, you're the person I'm most excited to play with, which I didn't also really trust. And he told me later he didn't really want to play with me. But I had some little things going. You know, I mean, Sandra was really the only person that I felt actually like ostracized by that wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
And then I would say like after the Tyson vote is when Sarah and Tony really pulled me in and they were like, you'll be our number 3. So then I kind of had that going with them. So I felt like I was in a decent spot at that point kind of early on.
I have so many questions for you about the early days of Dekalb, because I feel like that we spent so much more time with Selle in the early days of the show because they were much more of a train wreck and you guys were the fun tribe. You end up finding the idol early on and you have to tell it to one person. You pick Sophie and you show Sophie about the idol. And Sophie gives a confessional. She's like, why, Kim, what are you thinking? Why would you show it to me? Of all these people,
you call yourself the devil in that confessional.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a good relationship with Sophie at that point in time?
I was trying with Sophie, and I honestly, though, knowing everything I know, I still think it was my best option.
Yeah.
Looking back, I didn't have anyone. I mean, I think I had concerns about Sarah and Tony, and would they even give me my half of it back? You know, if I showed it to Tyson, he was going to want me to play it for him that night. I mean, he went home at the next and he had no one. And I wasn't, you know, I felt like I had to build something moving forward. I'd had a lot of conversations with Yule and Sophie. I felt like my options were Yule or Sophie. And I definitely have a better connection with Sophie, just like a human connection where we have conversations where we get each other and we laugh. Like, I really liked Yule. I think Yule is like a really kind, smart, intelligent person. And yet we didn't have like a bond, you know? So
yeah,
I still think Sophie was my best option. If Sophie could have like committed to me, things could have gone a lot differently for both of us.
I agree. Because that you skip all ahead to you guys are at Ponderosa and you're sitting there at Ponderosa and you're having a drink. And you're talking about your friendship and you're saying to Sophie, it was sincere. that I just really got you. And Sophie is saying to you, I know that now because, but I was too scared. I was too scared because you're Kim and I felt like that I was being duped because I wanted to like you in the game.
Yes.
And that it was really this reputation of that Kim is so charming that kind of put up a wall between Sophie. She didn't want to let you in.
No. And not only that, I think Sophie did not want to be made a fool of by me. I think that was actually really one of the things that was very important to her in some ways going into this season. I don't think she wanted to play with me. I think she thought her chances with Sarah were better. I think, and I knew that at the time. Like, I remember at some point, we thought the tribe swap was coming. And I went to her and I said, Soph, can you give me the other half of the idol? Like, I promise you, like, I will hold it. We will play it. And I meant that. And I said, I want us both to look good. I want us both to go to the end. Like, I'm not trying to make you look. And I felt like there was this real moment between us, like this real connection moment. And she's told me afterwards, that was the moment where I was like, I think that maybe this is sincere, but she just couldn't get there on me. And she ended up telling Yul about the idol before the tribe swap. And Yul told Nick told Michelle and Tony when we merged. And so by the time we merged, I think Denise was the only person on the tribe that didn't know I had an idol. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. You said to Sophie at Ponderosa that we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives. I think was what you guys said. Have you guys kept that connection after the show?
Yeah. I mean, emotions run high at Ponderosa. Yes. But yes, I think Sophie and I will be friends. We're like, ding.
Yeah.
We talk, not a ton. Sophie's an introvert.
Yeah.
Sometimes I call her and she doesn't answer. So if you know that's true.
Thanks.
But then she randomly FaceTimes me every time I'm like at a birthday party or somewhere that I shouldn't actually be FaceTiming. Sophie mm-hmm. FaceTimes me and I take it and walk out. And anyway, so yes, we're good. She's teaching me how to bake scones.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Is her mom English?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I felt like that over the course of the show, and I went back and I reviewed a lot of this, that your nemesis, I think, ultimately was Tony in the game. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing with Tony and I was with Tony the whole time. Tony and I were super close in some weird way. Like, I think what you don't see early DeCall is a bunch of parents bawling their eyes out all day, every day. And I think that's where Tony and I really bonded, was about the kids. Our kids are the exact same age. We would both get up early and sit out on the log together and cry. And we'd come back from our confessionals and cry and give each other a hug. But I always knew that Tony didn't really want to play with me. I don't actually think it's that he didn't trust me. I think he knew I was very trustworthy and trying to be honest with them. He just didn't want to play with me and he didn't want Sarah to play with me. And so he wouldn't really like include me. And I think he kind of like intentionally kept me at an arm's length. And I spent our time during the tribe swap. And then again, at the merge, trying to like prove myself to him and get in with him. So yes, I do think that was my biggest mistake in the game. I think at some point I should have just said, you know what, this isn't happening. I've got to stop trying. I just felt like Tony and Sarah were I felt like we were kind of in the same threat level situation where like they might potentially see me or I might get into a position where they would need to keep me. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's not that I really trusted them. I just thought it was it was probably my best option for staying in the game longer.
In the early days of DeKal, you guys go to that tribal council the second time to vote off Tyson. And it seems like that there's some momentum for, hey, Tyson's a big threat. Tyson talks with Tony. Then we see Tony talk with Sarah. We see Sarah talk with you. It seems like that you're on board to do it.
Yeah.
Was that real? Did that almost happen?
Yeah, I think it was going to happen. And yes, I was on board to do that. Here was my concern. You know, from the beginning of day one, it was like Kim's with Tyson. And I wanted to make sure that people knew that if I didn't need to be with Tyson, I wasn't with Tyson. But yes, I think there was some interest. And all of a sudden, there was this moment where Tyson was going for Tony. And then he decided, whoa, who's really pulling the strings? It's these people in the middle. It's Yul and Sophie. And I think when he like even entertained that as an option, it immediately got back to Tony and Sarah. And then, you know, it was back on Tyson immediately. So I was always just trying to be careful about like where people thought Tyson lied priority wise to me, if that makes sense. But yes, I wish, of course, that's one of those things in hindsight, I wish that had happened. And I know that's one of Tyson's biggest regrets, of course, you know.
Yeah.
He wishes he had stayed fixated on Tony in that moment. But we all know how it goes.
Could you just also, before you end up going to the swap, talk about your relationship with Sarah in the early days of the game? Because we see you in those conversations that, you know, you guys are close enough that you can have that conversation about potentially keeping Tyson. She seems like she's definitely on board to work with you there. You guys are about to get separated. But were you close with Sarah in the early part of the game?
Yes, I was getting very close with Sarah. I think there were a lot of people I was getting close with, but I wasn't really supposed to be a part of the plan. So it was kind of like messing everything up. And they're like, we're not really supposed to like Kim or be like working with Kim. But, you know, so yeah, Sarah and I were getting really close, especially as moms. I mean, Sarah's hilarious. She makes me laugh as hard as anyone. And she's just fun to be around. Again, another person that I really connected with. And then in moments started to talk strategy and game with. So Sarah and I definitely were talking more about the game. Sarah and Sophie and I. But never really together. And then I think that was also part of my problem with the swap is if, you know, Sophie and Sarah going together at that point did not work out well for me.
Yeah. I think there's a secret scene around that time where you and Sarah are bonding about missing your family. And it really feels like that that the bond with you and Sarah is actually a very strong one that we didn't see as much on the TV show.
For real. Yes. Yeah. And that was day, I don't know if it was day 13 or 16 or whatever, but I will always look back and say that was like the turning point day for me because I finally let myself sob like I needed to. I was kind of trying to like put on a brave face, but I just missed the kids so desperately and I was so miserable up until that moment. And I think after I just like cried it out that day and she like hugged me, I mean, that probably went on for an hour and I just bawled. And then I kind of felt like I could let it go and just be there for the first time. So that was good.
Okay. Well, you end up at the swap, you stay at DeKal with Tony and Sandra, and then here comes Jeremy and Denise. And I thought this was such an interesting spot, and there's a lot of talk in these two episodes about how Kim is in the middle. Kim's in the middle. There's one shot, you guys are all eating. You're literally sitting in the middle. You caught the eel, and you're in the middle with Jeremy and Denise on one side, and Tony and Sandra on the other side. And I was convinced when this first happened, all right, here we go. Kim is going to work with Jeremy and Denise now, but ultimately you ended up staying with working with Tony and Sandra. Mm-hmm. Could you talk through like how tempted you were to ultimately flip sides?
Yes, super tempted. Like if there was one person that I wanted to get out, it was Sandra. And Tony was probably the second. Like those are the two people on my tribe that I was like, I can't stand these guys. Like they've been so like, they won't let me in. Like they're like not letting me play and it's bugging me. So then I was like, you know, when at the tribal swap, and then immediately Denise and I go for a walk and it was good, but it wasn't great. Like there was a connection with Denise and I love Denise. She's awesome. She's one of my favorite people I met out there, but there just wasn't like that game connection where I felt like she was really willing to go there.
Oh, wow.
Like immediately. So who are you playing with? And she's like, everyone. I just love everyone. Like we're all so close. And I was like, oh no. I mean, she told me a little bit about the situation with Adam, but she wasn't willing to like really put it on the line. And I think that prevented me from putting it on the line as well. I think if she had given me like 100% transparency in that moment, I would have turned around and been like, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
But I definitely picked up the fact that I had gotten votes and that I was the one on the outs and that I was willing to work with them, which I was. Jeremy and I, big time connection. I mean, we were able to talk about everything. I just think Jeremy and I were in really similar positions, but on opposite sides. So it's kind of like we didn't have anything to offer each other. You know, like we were both kind of knew we were the person on the outs, wanted to get something going, and you don't really want to partner with the one other person on the outs, you know, like you're kind of looking for people that have an in. So of course, this is another regret of mine. Although at the time when Denise blindsided Sandra, I thought that was a best case scenario for me because, you know, I'd worked so hard to build these bonds with the DeKal people. And I thought at a merge, I don't want to be the person that flipped. They want me anyway. They want to hate me. They're going to come for me. I'll be in the majority. We definitely had the majority. And so I didn't do it because I thought that I was going to get back with Sarah and Sophie and figure something out. So It's a regret. I wish I had told Denise everything, you know, whatever, and worked with her, but yeah. I didn't.
Well, it's so interesting that you say that it was a best case scenario for you because you didn't have to flip and ultimately Sandra got voted out. So, yeah, you didn't have that kind of blood on your hands. Do you feel like, though, it would have been better for you long term if Denise actually did go through with doing one of the things that Sandra suggested she do and vote out Tony?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime Tony could go home during the entire season.
Yeah.
Is something that I look back and I'm like, damn, we could have gotten Tony, you know, or Sarah. I mean, honestly, I feel similarly about Sarah. I think they were the two that, you know, anyway.
Why wasn't that a bigger deal? Tony and Sarah, Cops Are Us, they played together in Cagayan. It seemed like that nobody over the course of the season was worried about those two together as a pair.
Yeah, I think people so fixated on the, whatever you want to call them, the heroes, Rob, Harv, that group, Tyson, Ethan. I feel like I am at the bottom of that. And then I feel like then came Sarah and Tony, you know, and I think that in some way, for whatever reason, like they kind of came across as like not as big of a threat, which I think it was a miss on everyone's part, you know, on Reed. I mean, I really bought into it and was a part of propagating the lion and hyena philosophy with Tony. You know, I mean, I was looking for people like that to stay with because I think there was Jeremy would have taken me to the end. Tyson would have taken me to the end. So I was looking for people like that to play with.
Yeah. Well, I felt like Tony ultimately got you, he says to Sandra, I'm going to work on Kim. And that's really when the lions and the hyenas end up starting up that he's talking about, you know, hey, it's the hyenas are going to take out all of the big threats like the lions. And Jeff asks you at the tribal council, you know, what's this game about? What's the theme of this season? And you're the one who says, you know, it's really the threats versus the non-threats.
And you know what that is? I'm glad you say that because that reminds me. That is partially what was going on with the Denise thing.
Yeah.
You know, Denise I saw as one of those people that, you know, people were going to probably want to take to the end. And Jeremy and Tony, not so much. And Sandra, not so much. I mean, that had been a lot of what we were talking about on early DeCall. Mm-hmm. So that is part of what played into my decision to not flip to Denise and Jeremy.
But the threats versus non-threats that, I think that maybe we should give you more credit for being on board with this, because wasn't that the thinking that allowed Tony to win? I mean, that if the outcome was, you know, a bounce of the ball here or there, isn't that the same thing that opens up the door for Kim Spradlin to win?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was going to take. And I think that's why of all the people, I think it makes me even more impressed with what Tony and Sarah did to get turned, because it was hard to be somebody that went in with, you know, a threat target on your back or somebody that people didn't want to play with and then go to the end. I think it was extremely hard. And if you're not thinking about, it's not a fair game. I mean, I don't want to come across as, you know, whiny or whatever, but it's not like the hands that people get dealt are anything but fair. These 22 players
you're
did not
player,
have
you know
yeah played that one time. They're not, it's not the same situation, you know. I mean, everybody has something different to work with. Some people's paths to the end are incredibly easy and some are almost impossible. Like, how does Boston Rob win this season? I mean, there, I don't know, it'd have to be miraculous, you know. So anyway, I think that makes Tony's game impressive, because I think he was on that list of people that would have had a hard time winning and he did it.
Can you just talk through a little bit about when, because you seem pretty astonished about when Tony freaks out that day that you guys are going to go to the tribal council and when Sandra gets voted out. This is the one time in the game that Tony is operating without Sarah. How different was Tony without Sarah around?
Right. I mean, he was the same. He was funny. Everything was normal. He was doing the ladder. He's hilarious. He's really fun to be around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that day I saw a different side of him, because he had kind of been unwilling to talk strategy, talk about vote outs. I mean, especially with me. So I guess maybe that was the first vote out that I was really having conversations with Tony. And he was acting like a nutcase, you know. And Sandra was like, don't talk near the well. She must have known about that little trench that he was hiding in. I think she was starting to wonder if she wanted to vote him out, obviously, you know, with the whole Denise Idol thing. So, yeah, that was a totally different side of Tony.
So after Sandra goes home, so there's a couple scenes where you're talking with Jeremy and Denise, and it seems like that Tony is left out of these conversations. Like, okay, what's the plan going into the merge? We need to start talking about the merge. And I thought you guys were actually in a really good spot, especially with what was going on with Wendell voting against Yule, and then ultimately them, like, original DeKal coming in as potentially a fractured group. I thought that, okay, oh, Sophie is going to be mad about this. And now that here comes, you know, Kim, and now she has Jeremy and Denise potentially to rejoin Sarah and Tony. And I thought that that's what where it was going to go. What were you thinking in terms of, okay, now I have Jeremy and Denise potentially with me. How did you see it going at the merge?
Yeah, I think you're right. If there was a moment that I felt a little bit better, it probably was at the merge. You know, I started to think like, okay, I might be okay for a little bit because of all of those things. I think the thing that we were most worried about, and honestly, I probably spent the most time talking to Jeremy during that period after Sandra goaded out, was just this idea of being a target. You know, like, we're like, okay, so you're always counting, like, where does the line fall? You know, if you put the targets on one side and the non-targets on the other side, you know, nobody's going to want to go to the end with these people. And I mean, I think that maybe we got a little too fixated on that. You know, I think one of my biggest misses was not really taking the time with Denise. Like, I think I always kind of took Denise for granted. And in the watch back, I realized, like, Denise was with me, you know, like, she voted with me. I think I was probably the person that she was most connected to strategically in the game. And I just don't think, I think she could have been a number two for me. I feel like, you know, two are so much stronger than one in this game, and it's hard to find the two, especially in a season like this, you know? And I think when you're playing against two people like Tony and Sarah, it's a huge advantage, you know? And I think Denise would have locked in with me like that. I feel like that's what she did with Malcolm, and she was probably kind of looking for someone to do that with. And I think I missed that.
Why do you think you missed
because
it?
Because I was so afraid that she was a non-threat and I was a threat.
Yeah.
I think I got fixated on that. Yeah. So it's a bummer.
Yeah. But at the merge, that we don't really see what you're thinking in this vote, at the Wendell vote. We see a little bit more of, like, okay, well, Tyson's going to come back, which probably you were happy that Tyson was back, right?
No. Yeah.
You felt like it was going to increase your threat level, or you're joking?
I was worried about Tyson because I voted him out and he knew it. No, I mean, I think he knew I was willing to burn him. And yeah, I knew he didn't have any relationships. I knew nobody wanted him there. So yes, I mean, he was a potential number for me, but Tyson is like a pot stirrer, you know? And I didn't know. I wasn't sure about Tyson. I think I guess, you know, the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. So in some ways I was kind of like, well, at least it's not like, you know, Yule, who, or whatever. So yeah, it was fine that it was Tyson. I didn't really have any preferences or any people that I trusted or was too excited to work with, period.
Yeah.
So,
was there anybody that you were like, I hope they don't come back?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows you where I was at.
Yeah. So we see the guys talking a little bit in this episode where at when we get to the merge, and it's like, okay, and Tony is talking to Tyson and to Jeremy, to Ben, and he's talking about them as being sort of like, you know, big targets that need to stick together. We see Sophie in the episode talking about Wendell is potentially somebody who's aligned with Jeremy, but we don't really see where you're at during all of this. Could you tell us about, like, you know, who you were talking to and how you got told, okay, Wendell is the vote?
Yes. I mean, I don't really remember, except I was just very much in all of those conversations about which one it was going to be. I remember not caring, which, you know, I they were very similar to me at that point. They had both kind of been like Yule's
Wendell or Nick.
Yes. In early DeKal, it was like Yule is just, you know, hands across his chest and they're kind of following, you know, around, and like neither one of them really wanted to talk about the game very much. I felt like I probably had a closer connection with Wendell. So I think, you know, if I had been asked in a conversation, I probably would have said Nick. But I remember when they came back to me and said Wendell, I was okay with that. And I was trying to go all in on the Sophie Sarah thing at that point. And I knew that Jeremy and Tyson were trying to pull me, you know, for them. And so it was a bit of a tricky stance because Jeremy really didn't want Wendell to go. And that got really tense and awkward, you know, during the second half of that day. So It was a tough one, but I didn't find, you know, that was, I was happy for it to be them. Like I was kind of propagating with Tony, this is too weird what they're saying about Yule. This doesn't make any sense. And, you know, Tony was really fixated on that and kind of going around and, you know, saying that he was like caught questioning them and they were acting awkward. And I mean, I think he is really the one that, you know, put the target on them at that point.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was going to be a bigger deal on the show, and there was really nothing of it, was the reaction to Yule getting voted out. Was that a big deal that Yule got voted out?
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you got to see it because, you know, we were all separated and at the, you know, at the point of the merge, we all knew. But yeah, I think we were really surprised for sure. And I think what happened though is that everybody vilified Nick and Wendell at that point because they were like, they lied to us. They're not DePaul, you know. Nick dated Michelle or Wendell dated Michelle. We all knew that Nick did not date Michelle. I don't think Nick dated Michelle. Who knows? But we all knew about that and had been talking about it with Wendell. And so that was like, we were like, this is, you know, we're going to know for sure if they're DePaul or not DePaul. Because of course we're always sticking true to our original tribe. And that was like the moment where, I mean, that was a bad call on their part. Honestly, I think if they had kept Yule, that wouldn't have happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your relationship like with Adam? Did you have, because I feel like that he's somebody who probably would have wanted to work with you.
Another regret for me. I mean, I think Adam and I had a like a really sweet little conversation at the merge. We both cried. We hugged. I mean, Adam's a really funny, smart guy. He was also, again, like another person that was on the outskirts. Like he just was not in a good spot. And I think that's the thing I look back at myself and would coach myself on is I think I like overlooked these people that I didn't see as having power. Like, I think I gave too much credit to the people that I saw in power positions instead of taking power and saying like, I'm going to grab these few people that maybe don't see themselves as, you know, a kingpin. And I think Adam was one of those people, like he was kind of looking for some people to attach to.
Yeah.
The problem with Adam is he and Sophie were really close and Sophie was so with Sarah and Tony at this point. Like she was ready to like do a blood oath with them. And it was just a tricky situation. Like at the merge, I don't want to derail you. So stop me if you want to.
I don't want to derail you.
Okay. So at the merge, like Sarah came to me early on and she's like, listen, you're my number one, but I've told Ben that he's my number one. So just be aware of that he thinks he's my number one. And Sophie thinks she's my number one. And of course, Tony thinks he's my number one, but you're my real number one. And that was kind of my first moment where I was like, ooh, I don't like this. And I went to Sophie and Sophie, I thought with Sophie, like we had a close enough connection that we didn't want to be perceived as close right away. Cause people were starting to say the girls, Kim, Sarah, and Sophie. So, and they were also worried that I was going to like, you know, have this women's alliance and do this repeat thing. And the guys, whether they were actually concerned about it or just wanted people to think about it, they were constantly saying that. So I didn't want to be perceived as being super close with Sophie, but the first conversation I had with Sophie after the merge is I said I would be really careful about Sarah. Like there's just something not quite right here. And I could tell at that moment that she was closer with Sarah than me. And I was kind of like, oh, this isn't, you know, it was just a bad feeling.
Yeah.
So,
I just feel like that the Adam vote was such a huge vote with setting up how the rest of the game was going to go because that there were the three people that were on the block at that point based on what we saw on the show with Adam and Nick and Michelle. It was like the three young people that, okay, well, one of them's going to go home. And then that was that episode where, you know, there's so much talking on the beach and it's so crazy. And Adam, I guess, had said that this is when Sarah gave the Chinese food reward to Nick.
Yeah.
How was the Chinese food? Fine.
Fine.
It was fine. Yeah.
It was fine.
Your fortune at the Chinese food says that you were going to make changes for the better. Did that happen?
Didn't come.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think it was a miss. I think when they pulled me onto the beach and Denise was like, hey, it's going to be Sarah. And I immediately was like, what? It's going to be, you know, I was like, no, it's not going to be Sarah. Because I was still so fixated on this threats and non-threats thing. And I'm like, it's me, it's Tyson, it's Jeremy, it's Sarah, it's Tony, it's Sophie. You know, like we're sticking with these people. And in hindsight, of course, I'm like, oh, I should have let it be Sarah. That would have been the best. But I immediately marched right back up to Tyson and Jeremy. I mean, there's so much of it that you don't see. And I'm like, it's going to be Sarah. What are y'all doing? Sarah's like one of the few people that is actually going to be with us. And we're like, you know, big players that people are going to target, and we have to keep this group big. And so that's when you see Tyson and I walk off, and he's like, who do you think it should be? And I'm like, let it be Adam. I don't, you know, again, a person that was on the outs and perceived as a non-threat. But yeah, I mean, in hindsight, this is, I'm like, it should have been Adam and Nick and Michelle and Denise and Jeremy and me, like, you know, of course.
It's so easy now.
Time traveler strategy. Yeah.
Because we know, okay, well, you know, Tony and Sarah and Ben, you weren't going to be able to break that up. And there's all these pawns that are easy on the board that are easy to just like, oh, get rid of them. But
good connections with those other people either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like I had some great relationship and like alliance or whatever going with this other group. I didn't even really know most of them at that point. I had met Adam 2 days before and we had hardly talked about the game and nobody wanted to work with them. So that, you know, again, hindsight.
Mm-hmm. So could you talk a little bit about your relationship with Michelle? I was always more surprised that you weren't able to get something going with Michelle. It seemed like that often in the game, she had not too much going on in terms of alliance. It seemed like that Jeremy was her only consistent ally, who was often your ally also. And I was surprised that I feel like that you two would have gotten along very well.
We did get along really well. Michelle was one of the people I went into the game. I think in my pregame, I said Michelle could be my Chelsea Meisner. Like, I'm not looking for her to take the number three, just saying like, she's someone I think I could partner with and do some damage with. And then, you know, we didn't meet each other until the merge. I'd never met her before and it was great. I love Michelle. We easily connected, easily conversed. It was just, again, like the way the cards were stacked at that point. Michelle had Jeremy and I didn't even really want to be with Jeremy and Tyson. Like, I was trying to kind of use them as a plan B because I knew they were on the outs and they weren't people that, you know, anybody wanted to keep around. Michelle and I consistently tried to have conversations. I think early on we had a talk and we were like, let's try, you know, we'll come together and kind of like, you tell me what your people are saying. I'll tell you what my people are saying. If we can kind of slowly peck off people that don't matter to our core, we could do something, but we just never could. We ended up having to lie to each other a lot and vote against each other a lot. Yeah. And it just never happened.
So Kim, that if you didn't want to work with Tyson or Jeremy so much, like where did you think your base was? Like, who were the people that you really felt like around this time that you were going to be potentially making a run with?
Yeah, I think I thought Sophie and Sarah would be the core of that.
Yeah.
Tony was attached to that. Ben was attached to that. And hopefully Tyson and Jeremy were attached to that for long enough that we could, you know, all do something as a group. And then I was kind of thinking what would happen is that would whittle down. You know, if I could sell this idea of threats versus non-threats hard enough that I would have my choice between Tyson and Jeremy and this other side at some point, you know? Yeah.
With the exception of Sophie, those are all the parents that are out there. Was there some sort of like a, hey, let's keep this group together and we're all missing our family. Let's get to the loved ones visit before we start to really get crazy here.
It never got said.
Yeah.
I think that might have been subconsciously going on. I think in one of the tribal councils, kind of after the tides had turned on me, Tony made a comment about like, we've let some people see their kids, you know, now that the loved one is over, the gloves are out. And I remember saying, that's me, Jeff, you know, and that might have been the night home or the night before the tribal council before. But yeah, I do think there was probably something to that. I mean, there's so much bonding over the missing of the families.
Yeah, because the family visit is right about to happen at this point in the game. And this is really like the family visit sort of like marks a point in the game where once the family visit happens, like Tony goes from like under the radar Tony to out of control Tony. Like, I don't know if it's a conscious thing that happened where, hey, I got to the loved one's visit and now it's go time, but he's really night and day from the family visit to after that ends up happening. He wins immunity in that episode and then it's just like he's shut out of the cannon from that point in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is something psychologically about that. It's a milestone. It's kind of this marker, you know, where you, it's like the merge. I mean, it's the second half of the, you know, the merge happens. And I think that happens a little bit, but I think at the family visit, you're kind of getting to that last little group of people where like something major is about to shift one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it came early for us. I don't think anybody was expecting it. I mean, we have never been more shocked in our lives, you know, so early. Nobody knew. And we had made that little calendar that you keep seeing and we were way off.
Did you make that? The calendar?
No, Sophie made the calendar.
Yeah.
And it was close, very close.
Very well done.
I guess not being the person, not being Tony, the person that was in the power position that made that right choice and kicked it into gear at the right time in the right place on the right people. I didn't feel that because I was just trying to survive every tribal council every day. I mean, my stance in this game had to be a more passive one. You know, I mean, I was trying to get to a place where I could like maybe get some footing, and it never really happened. So I don't feel like I had the luxury of like kicking it into gear, if that makes sense. There was no footing for that type of a moment.
Yeah. Can you talk about the family visit and what that was like? You're the first one to go that, you know, I'm sure you knew that your kids were, you know, had to get ready to go to Fiji, but you don't know if maybe that they ultimately like changed up the plans or anything like that. So what was that like when Brian comes out with your kids?
Well, it was hilarious because my kids, unlike everybody else's kids who were really cute and made like, you know, running and jumped on their parents, my kids were like huddled around Brian, holding onto his legs. He's like dragging them down the sandy path and they won't come. Like they're acting like they're being like taken to jail. And they're not smiling and they're like not even really looking at me. And they're shy. I don't know. They were totally freaked out. And so they were weird. My kids were super weird. They didn't really look at me. And then as soon as we sat down, they were like talking my ear off. But during the part where we're hugging and Jeff is like interviewing us, they're like totally unaffectionate and act like, you know, I'm an imposter, like I'm playing their mother.
Yeah.
But it was so... it's so good. I don't know. I think I tortured myself a little bit about my kids. Like I felt really bad for leaving. And then I thought about them nonstop. Like I literally couldn't say their names during the, like I couldn't, you know, somebody, I missed two of their birthdays. Yeah. I would try to like say their name and my eyes would just like fill with tears. So I was kind of an emotional basket case. And then seeing them, I felt better afterwards. Like I was like, oh, it's fine. Because Brian was just complaining about traveling, complaining about how hard it was.
I was going to ask you that. How did he do it traveling to Fiji with three small children?
My sister went with him, like essentially help. So bless her. I mean, not to be on TV or anything, but just to like play nanny. Mm-hmm. So the two of them, I mean, they said it was just like laugh or cry. I mean, a crazy experience dragging the kids. But all the families had so much fun together. The kids were fishing and swimming and playing on the beach. And so I think it was a cool time. I mean, we have a lot of fun pictures from it and they remember it, you know, I mean, they didn't care. I don't feel like they cared too much to see me. They were just excited to be catching lizards and hermit crabs and whatever. So, and they wanted to go back and be with their friends, which was like Ben's kids and Tony's kids.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. When you were out there and missing your kids so much, you didn't make a wish by any chance that one day you'll be able to spend all of your waking hours with your children.
Oh my God. That's what this is.
That wasn't what happened?
No, but it is a weird position to be at home all the time.
The opposite.
Watch yourself on TV missing your kids and you're like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it flipped around. So after the family visit, you know, we talked about Tony. He's going to win immunity. I'm sorry. Did I skip over when you won your immunity? I'm sorry about that, Kim.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Did you become the all-time winningest female challenge competitor for immunities?
I saw on Twitter. I mean, I don't know who's keeping count, but...
Yeah. Was that number five for you?
I wish I'd taken number six on that peanut butter challenge.
Yeah. Well,
five, balancing on top of a doghouse.
Yes. Congratulations. So I'm sorry for missing that. But in terms of where... things really kick into gear at this point, and there's a lot of talk, and it seems like that on your part also, there's a sudden sense of urgency about how like, okay, that's it. This is where I've had enough. What happened that made you feel that way?
I think the moment I had enough was more when Tony voted out Sophie. I think that was the shift for me where I think I could start to see things really clearly and like the way it was going to go. So I don't even know if that was the family. I think what happened for me
is in this episode, when this is when Tyson is going to get voted out, you said, that's it. I'm done with it. You said.
I did.
Yeah, that's when you said that you played your idol.
Oh, this thing. Okay. Yes. This is what happened on this. So I think everything's fine. We get back from that immunity challenge. I think I'm good with all my people. Everything's working. Denise and Sophie are sitting in front of the campfire. They're kind of like, I'm kind of standing next to them. And they're like, what do you think it's going to be? And I'm like, I have no idea. Oh, is she going to be Jeremy? No, it wasn't going to be Jeremy. It was going to be Nick maybe or something. Somebody random, you know, just kind of like an easy target. And they were like, this feels weird, right? And I was like, I don't know what's going on. So what had happened the night before? After, I don't know, how this is going to be frustrating for you because I waited until after the family visit. Okay, so this is what happened. Maybe two nights before, Tyson woke Sarah up in the middle of the night and pulled Sarah down to the beach. And he said, okay, you know, this is, so Tyson and Jeremy really wanted me to work with them. I think they wanted it to be the Poker Alliance. We kind of talked about that. Said, like, let's do this. You know, and I was great with that as like a plan B, but it really wasn't my priority. And I think they were starting to feel that I was closer with the girls and that I wasn't really going to come on board with them. And so he came back to me after they tried to vote Sarah out because Sarah knew that he and Jeremy had been on board for that. She was mad and she was out for blood. And he was like, you know, what am I going to do? And I said, well, you need to fix it with Sarah. So he wakes Sarah up in the middle of the night, takes Sarah down to the beach and says, there's one person here. I just came back from the edge. Let me tell you, there's one person here who is going to win the game. Do you know who it's going to be? And she was like, no. And he was like, it's Kim. So then at that point, Sarah was like, I knew it. And she went to Sophie. They were kind of like, you know what? I don't have a good feeling about this. I think Kim's working with Tyson and Jeremy. So what happened that day that I played my idol and the whole mess happened was Tyson and Jeremy came to me like an hour before tribal council. I thought we were all voting Nick or whatever the thing. And they said, who do you think you can trust? And I was like, Sophie. And they were like, mm-mm. And I was like, Sarah. And they're like, nope. And they're like, they're trying to get your idol from you. They're going to vote you out. They're trying to make a fool of you. Like, it's done. It's over. And I was like, crap, are you serious? And whatever they told me, I think it was, and I think it had sincerely happened. I didn't know at that point that Tyson had like instigated this whole thing, but I was like, fine, we will vote Sophie. I'm done with it. You know? And I was just in a rage. It was kind of like an emotional reaction for me. Things weren't great. I knew my connections weren't great. The two people that I thought I like maybe could work something with were turning against me. And I knew I still kind of had this option with Jeremy and Tyson. They were like, we have the votes to vote Sophie tonight for sure. Will you do it? If you will do it, we will get her. And I was like, yes, I will vote Sophie. I knew about everyone's advantages at that point. I knew about Jeremy's advantage. I knew about Sarah's advantage. I knew everybody knew I had an idol. So, I mean, we've literally had 30 minutes. I walked back into camp. It was super awkward. I think Sarah and Sophie knew at that point that I was pissed and flipping. And it was like this whole mess. And I tried to like follow them to the well and like pretend we were voting Michelle or whatever. But like we all knew we were lying to each other. And then we stormed off to tribal and it was just a mess. And they were planning to vote Jeremy at that point. They didn't want to include me because they thought that I was with Jeremy and Tyson or they were worrying about that. So that whole thing, when Jeremy gets up and leaves, that is the person that the vote was on. So that threw them for a loop. They were having to regroup. They knew I had my idol. I had a feeling they weren't going to vote for me because I was the only person they knew had an idol. And then Tyson had been telling them that he had an idol and I had confirmed that to them. That he had an idol from the edge, even though he didn't. And so I had the feeling they were going to vote for Denise because she was the only other person on the outs. And sorry, is this too much?
No, this is great.
Okay, so then I thought that they really did want to vote Sophie. Like, I had a feeling that Tony and Nick really did want to vote Sophie. A lot of people wanted Sophie out. They thought she was a big threat. She'd been playing really hard. She was really good at puzzles. People were worried about her moving forward. So what I was trying to do when I played the Denise idol at the end, when I was like in deliberation, was cause a tie so that if there had originally been a group of people that were going to vote Sophie, that they would then be freed up, you know, this tie between whomever and Sophie to actually put the vote on Sophie and send somebody from that other group home, Sophie. So that's what I was doing when I played the idol on Denise.
Yeah.
Not a good plan, okay. Misplay, but that was the intention.
So many different things from that I want to circle back to. No, this is great. This is great. This is all. Kim, this is wonderful that you're the first person I get to talk to.
I know too much about it, so I don't know if it comes across clearly or not.
Okay, so why did Tyson talk to Sarah? That did something go wrong? What was he trying to do?
I think they were trying to like split me away from the girls. I think they knew that I was like playing with Sophie and Sarah, but I was kind of trying to play both sides and I wouldn't commit. And I think that was his way of trying to like divide.
Yeah.
Because I to get on me.
Sarah and Tony talk in this episode and Sarah's like, it has to be Kim. And Tony is saying like, no, it has to be Jeremy.
Right.
And then you go and or Jeremy pulls you aside and says, come on, let's talk. And then that's when they're like, hey, we have to vote out Jeremy. Now, the question that we had so much at the time was that you knew Jeremy had the safety without power. He knew you had the idol. Was there ever any talk about, hey, Jeremy, hey, look, they're going to vote for you. I'll put the idol on you.
Yes. I think the problem was, and this is just Jeremy was going to use that thing. You know, I mean, he was like, I have this, and he wasn't going to trust me to play an idol for him. He had immunity and he wanted to use it. And it was his last night to use it. And he was like, I'm not going to be the fool that goes home. You know, I think he was afraid I would, you know, I mean, there just wasn't that much trust.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be rid of the idol. So you're right. I probably should have just handed it to him and said, play it for yourself. I think even I, though, in that point, not having good relationships with people, I'm like, I don't know if I want to give Jeremy an idol. What if he votes me out with my own idol? And then I look like a fool.
Yeah.
You know,
both saw that happen to Sandra.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that for Jeremy? It's like, hey, I have this advantage. It's expiring. I have to use, this is my move. This is my, one of my big moves in the game. Do you think that that's part of where that comes from? Of like, if I have this advantage and if I don't use it, then I'm not going to be able to win the game.
Do you mean like resume building?
Yeah, resume. Like this is my opportunity.
I mean, I don't think so, but I don't think it was about that. I think Jeremy knew he was a big threat or perceived being a big threat and somebody that people didn't want to take. So I don't know if it was about resume building. I think there was a group of people that were trying really careful not to build a resume. You know, they were just trying to like squeak by. And I think he fell into that category.
Mm-hmm.
And he honestly was a good group because it was going to be him. So,
yeah.
And then when Sarah plays the seal of vote, that doesn't go his way.
Mm-hmm. So Michelle is somebody who's counted as like, it's, hey, it's this five versus this five. And all of a sudden, Michelle is part of the five that's with you and Jeremy and Denise and Tyson. She ultimately is going to vote for Tyson. Did you guys feel like that Michelle was with you or she was Jeremy's friend? And then when Jeremy was gone, she's just like, I'll just throw a vote wherever.
It's Michelle smart. She could see how that was going. She wanted to stay in the majority. She wasn't going to put her game on the line for this awkward situation with me and Sophie, me versus Sophie, or at least that's what it felt like to me. And stand in a little circle with me and Tyson and Denise, who didn't have a vote, while she could go over and like maybe save some face with that other group. So I don't blame her.
Okay.
She stayed and voted with us and I'd played the idol for the right person, it could have been Sophie. So that would have been cool, except I love Sophie.
So after this tribal council, okay, Jeremy has left you guys at the tribal council. How big of a deal was that Jeremy left you guys on your own at that vote?
I mean, I had no hard feelings towards anyone. I felt like I was just struggling along with another group of small people to try to stay in the game. And he was one of them. And so I never resented Jeremy for it. I just liked that he was a target and I liked that people wanted him out, but it never felt at the time. Again, this is another missed opportunity for me looking back. I mean, it was me, Jeremy, Michelle, Denise, and Nick. There were five of us and three of them. And I knew when we got back from that vote, you know, I think this was where Tony will say that he decided to vote Sophie out, because me, Sophie, and Sarah sat there and cried. We told the whole story. I mean, we sat up till the middle of the night and talked. I told them what Jeremy and Tyson had said to me and how he had pitted us against each other. And we were back together stronger than ever. And we were like, you know, F them. It's going to be the three of us to the end. We're going to do this. And Michelle kind of sat there. And Sophie told Michelle that it was going to be Jeremy, which really pissed Tony off, because Michelle was not supposed to know that. And Tony was like playing double agent. So he says that was the moment where he decided to vote Sophie out and he didn't feel like she was like with them or playing a good game or whatever. So the girls kind of, and I like bonded again over this like false pretense that they weren't really coming after me, which they were. And that's when Sarah's like struggle started. I think like you watch her struggling in some of the secret scenes. Like I think those few days were where she started to have like a really hard time emotionally. And I don't know why I said that, but it was just an interesting time in the game. Like, yeah. I think that where like it got very tense.
Okay. This is new information because we didn't see any of that on the show in terms of there was like this reconciliation that happened with you and Sarah and Sophie at this point in time. What we did see was in the secret scene, which you're alluding to, where you and Sarah have a secret scene where you talk about how hard it is to be the winner and to sort of like the emotional baggage that comes along with being the winner of the season and being made to feel like you're a bad person because you did what it took to win. And you talked with Sarah about how this took a long time for you to get over this because that you had people had made you feel like that you had done something bad to win your original season. And that was something that Sarah had been confiding with you about, how that she had struggled with that after Game Changers. And you were very reassuring to her about how, like, hey, that I know I'm a good person and you're a good person too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't want to, but yeah, I mean, I think her more than me, she got a really bad rap. I mean, I think the things, you know, there's just like trauma as people and people saying things to you like, I feel gross having to vote for you, or like you're a disgusting person. Like, you know, I think for me, like some of the bitterness that I felt from my cast that it went my way and not theirs, you know, like people that I love and like as people and friends, but this game is just hard. I mean, even the end of 40, it's hard. Like emotions run really high, even for well-adjusted, you know, intelligent, kind people. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think that maybe that's when Sarah knew she was going to vote me out. You know, I wonder if in hindsight, like, I think maybe she got to that point where she knew that, you know, she was about to double cross me and we'd had this really tight relationship. And she was just like really, really struggling with through that, you know, and I was telling her that because that is true. Like, and I think the winner cast of all people knows that. We've all sat in that seat and know how that feels to have people say things like that or like assume that you're, you know, like a slimy person because you lied and got to the end of the game. So, yeah.
So do you feel like that the reason that she was going through that particular conversation at that time with you was that you felt like that in hindsight that she was going to have to end up betraying you? Or is it possible that then she was going to have that betrayal of Tony?
Well, I was hoping it was Tony, and I was really pushing for that in the therapy session. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. You're honestly, the best like, interest.
Trying to encourage her about, you know, like you can go to the end with Sophie and I, and that is not make you a bad person. There was some of that going on. And I do think it's true. You know, I mean, I honestly think that was her biggest mistake in the game was if she had taken him out at any point, I think it makes her the winner, you know, but we all have our things. So,
Yeah. And so ultimately, you know, Tony is going to get this maneuver going where it does seem like, okay, now you and Denise are like, okay, that's we love Jeremy, but enough. It's not happening with Jeremy. We're going to be part of the vote split. And now, and Tony's seeing that you guys are potentially on board with this and then comes out of nowhere to, you know, pull these four votes together and ultimately on the vote split, take out Sophie.
Yeah. And really good on Tony. The way he did this multiple times was to tell people literally like as we were getting the lockdown or like in tribal council, because I think that's how he was able to pull these things off. You know, he would whisper to people like Nick or Ben or Michelle, like people who didn't feel like they were in a power position or necessarily had a huge stake in who it was going to be and say, it's going to be Sophie tonight or it's Kim. You know, and like Nick didn't really want to vote me. Ben didn't, you know, but it's like they didn't really have a choice at that point because they were like, Tony's the one that's telling us what to do. And this is clearly the thing that we're doing, you know, and didn't really like leave time for people to think or discuss or go back and double check. And so that was really smart on him. And I think particularly in this season to do that.
it seemed like at this point in time, you were really like the one person, maybe Denise too, that really had Tony clocked in terms of that he was talking to Jeremy and Michelle and telling them that, you know, he was with Jeremy, he was working with them. And you were able to see through what Tony was telling. Did you try to tell Jeremy that Tony was misleading him?
No, because Jeremy and I had kind of stopped talking at that point about the game. Because after the Tyson vote out, Jeremy was hardcore Tony. Like, whatever Tony did to sell him that he was his number one, like, Jeremy really believed that. I mean, we've talked about this since. I'm like, what if I had come to you and said, like, it was going to be you that night? And I, like, Nick would have confirmed it. Like, would you have flopped? And he's like, nope, not a chance. Yeah. I was Tony, you know? I mean, I think that's the thing you miss, because that's my biggest frustration is at this point, you know? Like, I feel like that was, there was so clearly a group of people that wasn't, you know, with Tony and Sarah. And was kind of missed on that connection, but that's kudos to them. Like, Sarah had me, you know, Tony had Jeremy's ear, and it kept us all split.
But it's funny how it works out, because then Tony does end up being the person who saves Jeremy that night, even though he came in and was trying to mislead Jeremy and throw him off the scent. Ultimately, that relationship with Jeremy ends up saving Jeremy for a couple of votes.
Well, and what was yes, and that locked it for Jeremy. Jeremy was like, see, 100% he's with me. But what was going on for me was I was supposed to be with Tony and Sarah, but like, Tony wouldn't talk to me like I was a part of the group and I knew what was going on. So like, it's hard to even explain, but I would go back to Sarah and be like, why is he not acknowledging that I know what's going on with our group? And she was like, I don't know. I think he's kind of losing a little bit. I think he can't keep it all straight. So this is just like a simplification for him to like have two groups. He can't have a third, like he can't have a conversation with you, who's like supposed to be with Jeremy and supposed to be with us, and know which side you're really on. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just keep playing along. I don't know what to do. I mean, it was super weird. That was probably the one thing that like later on, before we voted, like that's probably the thing I should have asked him at final tribal council. Like, that was the one thing where I was like, this doesn't quite seem masterful, that you can't like figure out where I fit into this picture and like how to talk to me. But anyway, that was weird.
Yeah. How much do you feel like that the ultimate outcome was a partnership of Cops or Us versus that this was just a like a Tony runaway?
Like his ability to get there?
Yeah, like
his ability to get there, all of it. I mean, I don't think he gets there without her. Yeah. There's no question. I mean, he doesn't get anywhere without her. He played his ass off. He played such a good game. I have nothing but respect for him. I love the way he played. It was funny. It was fun. I was never mad at him. I was annoyed at him at times, but like, he did such a good job. I loved watching him. It was fun at the time. I was excited to vote for him, but like, he doesn't get there without her. She did all the dirty work. I mean, she had all the hard relationships. She had me, she had Ben, she had Sophie, she had Denise, she had, I mean, I don't even know if Tony had Nick, you know? So
yeah,
it's a funny situation. And then like, I think she would have had a hard time getting votes, you know? So it's just such an interesting paradox, you know?
Yeah. So after Sophie ends up getting voted out, this is really where you've drawn the line in the sand. It has to be Tony.
It was the first time I saw an opening for myself to do something, because I went to Sarah, you know, and I'm like, he sunk your game. Just period. It's over. Nobody's going to respect you after that. He took out your right-hand girl. He sabotaged you. He disrespected you. Like, this is not a partnership. Yeah. Like, if you don't do that back to him, you're done. Like, you know, he's already winning all these immunities. He's playing a hard game. You know, and I think she thought about it. I would like to think she did. You know, I think that she knew that there was some truth to that, because there was, you know, I mean, I think that really hurt her game big time. And that's why when that vote was coming up and it was me versus Jeremy, that's what I was saying to her. Like, if you don't take out his person right now, this looks again bad on you. Like, I'm clearly yours. Like, I'm yours, Ben's yours. If you let him take out another one of your people next. So a little bit, I was like hoping for that, you know?
Were you surprised that she ultimately went back with Tony and went back? It was almost like that, as far as we saw, they've had one conversation about it and then it was back to, you know, the same as before.
Yeah. I mean, she came back. They had a long, hard yelling conversation where you could just hear like a lot of cussing and grimy being said over and over again.
It's very grimy.
She and I stayed up talking for like several hours about that. And she said, the good thing that came out of this is Tony has never wanted to take you to the Final Four. And I just got you a spot. You're our Final Four. It's going to be me, you, Ben, and Tony. And I was like, oh, this sounds awful. You know, like, I think that was also my part where I was like, I'm not going to get drugged to the Final Four by Tony and Sarah and Ben. Tony, who doesn't really want me to be there. And she's just, this is her stance on this. Like, I don't know. I just felt like that was my first opening. Like he had kind of really like overplayed his hand, I thought, at that point to like step in and like do something different. So I probably ran my mouth too much and I don't really regret that part. You know, yeah. I think it was as good of a moment to try something as any.
Do you think you got Tony's name out there too early in the cycle in terms of like between when Sophie gets voted out and when you go to tribal council? Yeah.
100%. Here's the thing though, it's, I wanted to talk about it early because I wanted the people to like think about it. I didn't want to talk about the actual vote and like how we were going to vote, but I was just trying to like highlight this to people, you know, just mention like, hey, if some other people are thinking this, like I'm also thinking this and affirm it, just kind of like plant the seed, have the conversations. I wasn't saying like, let's make a plan to get Tony, you know, and then, of course, you know, yes, the immunity, it wasn't supposed to be that day. I remember whatever it was, like being like, oh, God, and now we're having an immunity challenge right away. I wish I hadn't said that this morning.
And for the first time, it seems like that you're having conversations with Nick about voting Tony out. You're having conversations with Ben about voting Tony out. It seemed like that the Sophie vote potentially seemed like that it won a couple of new allies for you that were going to work with you.
Well, I was hoping.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping Ben felt really betrayed. I mean, he was really close with Sophie too. You know, I think it was just too little too late. Like apparently there was like a blood oath involved or like they had sworn their allegiance or something between Sarah and Ben and Tony. And so they had like promised each other they weren't going to vote for each other in the game. So I just think that, you know, I shouldn't have told Ben. I mean, I think that was my mistake. I should have tried Jeremy, I guess. I don't know. Not a lot of questions.
Yeah. It seems like that there was also a version that was you and Michelle and Denise and Nick, which feels like that Nick is
the one I was working really hard and trying for.
Yeah. I know you've beaten yourself up over the peanut butter thing, but I don't think you should.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Don't make me cry.
I don't think you should.
It's more complicated than peanut butter. And that's the thing that people don't understand. You know, it's like, it's not like I literally was like, oh, do I want to win $2 million or eat this peanut butter? It's like, I stepped down for peanut butter in my season and it worked really well for me. Like it solidified myself as a group of people. Like it said like, hey, this person's with us. They trust us. I'd been working so hard from day one with this shitty hand of like a horrible, you know, experience climbing my way up, trying so hard to say, guys, I'm not a threat. I'm not even playing a good game. Like what have I done? Like, let's don't play with people based off of reputations from former seasons. Like look at who's playing a good game now. And I'm not. Like, look at me. I'm stepping down for peanut butter. I'm misplaying my idol. I'm just one of the misfits, you know? And that's the story I was trying so hard to sell Denise and Michelle and Nick. And honestly, watching it back bothered me more because I was closer than I thought. Like, hearing Nick say some of the things he said, and even, like, Ben's talk with Tony, like, Ben didn't want to vote me out. And like the fact that Michelle voted with me, I don't know. It wasn't as dire of a situation as I think I thought it was at the time.
Yeah.
But of course, in hindsight, I wouldn't come down. I would have stayed up to the bitter end. But I just was at this place in my head where I was like, if I can't make it through eight, like if I don't have a plan that gets me further than this, like I'm not going to like win every immunity. Mm-hmm. Like I have to get my, you know, I have to get something going for myself. And the Sophie vote out had just happened. I think Sarah was questioning him. I didn't feel like he was in a good spot. And so anyway, whatever. I did what I did.
Yeah.
It was a calculated risk. Dr. Liza helped me. A calculated risk.
That
did not pay off.
But you were going to fall anyway, right?
I mean, ish. I think that was a part of it too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I get it. After that tribal council or after the immunity challenge, Tony has immunity. So you have to shift things up and you go with you. Let's vote out Jeremy.
Terrible plan.
Yeah. Why?
Because I should have turned it and said, let's make it Sarah Ben. I mean, I think people would have been excited about that. I think Jeremy would have been excited about that. It's just fine. Who do you, you know, who wants to vote who? There's different people that want to vote different people. You know, I think Jeremy would have voted Ben, maybe. Mm-hmm. So locked on Tony at that point and thought Tony was the Messiah. And so, sorry, Jeremy, but yeah, it's just, it was a hard sell. And then they had three immunities between the three of them. We only knew of two. But it just, you know, I wish if I could go back and do it again, I'd try to get Sarah and I'd be like, look, I'm going home anyway. Like, let's just try this thing. They've all three sworn the blood oath and there's five of us. Like, let's put our votes on Sarah. And if it's, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody idle up, then it'll be me and it's going to be me anyway.
But you still felt like that you could redeem the relationship with Sarah and go with her to the end. Is that what, why the hesitation to vote out Sarah?
No, I just don't think I thought people would do it. Yeah. I think I thought at that point, to me, it felt more likely that I could convince Sarah, who I'd had a relationship with since day three, to believe that a better vote for her tonight was Jeremy and that she had the power with Tony because he knew that he had screwed her over with the Sophie vote and that I could get through that one more vote. Like it was me and Jeremy. Who cares? You know, like everybody wants both of us gone. Like I just thought I could get through the one more vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then regroup, mm-hmm. you know,
at that tribal council, there was so much walking around and talking to people. And could you just tell us a little bit, like, do you remember the conversations that happened at the tribal council? Like, are they real? Because I think that there's so much of it that happens that we say, is it theater that when people are walking around a tribal council?
Oh, I don't think at least it's not for me. I feel bad because I know everybody finds that terribly annoying. And I think I was one of the people that was probably doing it a lot this season. I mean, what happened for me is over the course of that day, I became like 99% sure that it was me. Like I could just tell off of Sarah's vibes and like the conversations that were happening. And I was like, you know, as we were leaving the beach, I said to Denise, it is absolutely me. There's no, she was like, you think? No way. And I was like, yes, I'm so sure. So like, as we're sitting there and we're traveling to tribal and I'm like trying to think through it, I'm like, there are five of us, you know? So I think that's the moment I was having sitting there. And I almost, you know, I had this whole speech planned out where I was going to call out Ben and Sarah and Tony. And then I was like that 1% chance that it's Jeremy, like I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. So anyway, again, yeah. Give me a DeLorean.
Yeah. If you could have changed the one thing, what would it have been?
Yeah, if I could go back and change the one thing that day, I'd go to Jeremy and, you know, try to, like, we had never had a candid, real, vulnerable conversation where I told him all in that entire game. And I would just tell him everything that was going on, everything I knew about Ben, Sarah, and Tony. I think there was plenty I knew that could have swayed those five people to put a vote on one of them that night. I think we could have easily blindsided or Sarah or Ben if, you know, I had gone about that the right way. So that's frustrating.
So, Kim, you end up going to the edge of extinction.
And yes.
Ben, how many days were you on the edge?
Five. Felt like 100.
It's really bad, the edge of extinction.
Don't tell the edgers I said that. Yeah, it is bad. There's something really bad happening at the edge. You know, I got there and everybody was super nice and it was a really sweet greeting. And I stayed up talking to Rob and Adam all night. Like I think literally sun up. And then I went and sat with Ethan and Danny as the sun was coming up. And I was like, this is so lovely to be with all these people. I'm so glad I don't have to be with those people anymore. And then maybe about like 9 o'clock, the regrets hit in. And then you have like, everybody's like, it takes about a day and you'll be in a better place tomorrow. So just all that day, I was just so upset, you know, about everything that happened.
Yeah.
But then like, you start to realize the people on the edge are not well. Like they come, they're okay originally. Yeah. And you're like, oh, cool. All the people I've ever wanted to hang out with. Oh, I'm hanging out with Barb and Ethan. This is so good. And then like, they're all fighting. Like they can't wait to tell you like all that's gone down there. And like, there's all these like crazy dramatic things happening between the people at the edge. And they all are like, you're fresh meat, you know? So they're kind of like pulling you in.
What gang are you going to be in?
A lot like jail. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be in the old school gang. But it was funny and fun, and I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird time. It feels like a dream. Yeah. You know.
Were you able to, you know, stay out of all of the bickering that was going on the edge of extinction? You were able to stay above it?
Yeah, I unfortunately involved myself. When Natalie found the clue that she sent to Nick, the disadvantage that he gave to Ben, it didn't show this on the show, but it said, like, you can send this to anyone from anyone. So you can sign it, you know, to Nick from whomever. And I was like, oh my God, send it to Nick from Wendell. And Wendell was there. And he was like, no, you can't send it from me. And I was like, yes, you have to send it from Wendell. And then Wendell got really upset about that. They're back.
Yes.
Wendell was really mad about that. And so that was a very interesting moment. And Wendell, like, essentially came to her and said, like, if you do that, you will not get my vote and I will lobby against you. And it was like this uproar.
Yes. But why did you want to send the disadvantage into the game from Wendell?
Well, I just was excited that I had thought of, like, a viable option. I was like, this will be so fun. And I wasn't crazy about Nick. I mean, I just felt like Nick was one of those people up until that game that just was willing to screw him over, you know, everybody over, whenever, just to better himself. And that was annoying and frustrating because it got me voted out. It wasn't like a personal thing. I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah.
But Wendell didn't think so.
Yeah. What was it like being on the jury that you've never experienced that before?
It was fine being on the jury. I think at the point that I got to Ponderosa, I just really wanted to go home. If I'm being honest, like, it was kind of hard to go and, like, you're kind of in this, like, purgatory between home and Survivor. And, I mean, it was good. I think a lot of, like, progress happened for me there, and I wanted to go home and be in a good place. I don't know if I was, like, the best, bubbliest version of myself there at Ponderosa. You might identify with that. But it was kind of cool to be on the jury, you know? I mean, kind of fun to be objective and feel like you can bring, like, a good mindset. And it's amazing how much people want to talk, and I think how much minds are changing throughout that process, you know? So I don't know. It was kind of cool. It was fun to be on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. What did you eat at Ponderosa? What was your order? They didn't really profile you in terms of what you ate at Ponderosa.
I think I ate so many, like, ham and cheese croissants on the boat ride on the way to Ponderosa. Yeah. By the time we got there, I wasn't feeling so good. And I was like, I'm going to go and take a shower and, like, take a nap and then try to come back. So the buffet was a little, like, stale at the point that I got there. But I don't really remember. You know, the Ponderosa food, I mean, they're so sweet. The staff is so sweet. It's a cute place. But it's like the food is all, like, almost what you wanted. But then it's just not quite, you know, it's like pizza, but it's, like, sweet. And you're like,
medium place.
Really pizza. Yeah. So it doesn't really, like, fill any of those cravings. And then you've gained, like, 14 pounds by the time you get home and you can't actually eat any of the things that you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has Survivor Winners at War cured your itch for more Survivor? Or do you feel like that you have maybe another run in you one day?
Yeah, no, it's definitely cured the itch for me. I think I always was going to want to play again at some point. This was the season to do it. I'm glad I said yes. It was kind of like I said this on, you know, at the Edge Challenge. It was kind of like my worst fear realized, you know, to go out and to have to struggle like that and to not have any freedom to play or really any fun struggling through, like, a bad season. And, you know, I think I would have regretted it way more if I hadn't gone and I'd had to sit on the couch and I would have wondered what if, and I probably would have thought I would have won and that would have bugged me. So now I know I didn't win.
Yeah.
There's closure. I think, no, I mean, if that's what it's going to be like, right? I mean, I guess since I had such a bad showing, then maybe I'd have a better chance going back.
You had a bad showing though. You came in, you were what, seventh place?
Ninth after Natalie.
Oh, after she came back. Yeah.
Eighth. I'm saying, like, maybe the next time around people will be like, oh, well, she's not that big of a deal. And then maybe I could do well in a third season, but maybe I shouldn't talk about that now.
Look, everybody's got to have their Tony in the spy bunker moment. And then they can come.
I think it was so good for me to I think I learned a lot on this as a survivor. Like, There's a lot I couldn't understand before I played the season. I didn't know what it felt like to be on the outs. I didn't know what it felt like to struggle. I didn't know what it felt like to know that you're getting voted out and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, I didn't know what it felt like to lay awake until 3 o'clock in the morning and think about all the things that I could have done differently. I had no sympathy for those people. I was like, but you didn't win, so who cares? I won.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, like, it was a good growing experience for me as a person. So yes, it was a win.
Are you saying that you're retired?
I said I was retired when I left. And I always compare this to childbirth. It's like the further you get away from it, you're like, well, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But it was that bad. I'll be shocked if I play again. I would say I'm like 99% sure, but I'm hesitant to say I'm retired because then I don't, you know, if I decide to do it they're not going to want me back. That was it for me.
Well, I think that the longer you're locked down with your family, I think the more you consider it. But I don't know why you say that they would never want to have you back. That I feel like
they wanted you to tell me that they do. No, I agree though. You're right. The more I'm at home, the more willing I am to go play again.
Yes, because didn't Jeff Probst write you a beautiful letter about how inspiring you are to everybody that watches the show?
He did. It was really sweet. I think he sent one to everyone, but I really loved mine. It meant a lot to me. Yeah. And yeah, I think this has been more emotional for me. It's funny. I've listened to a couple of podcasts and I find myself like tearing up when people say good things about me. And I don't think I knew that I like needed that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think it took me going, you know, getting voted out to like appreciate that, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, Kim, let me borrow something from Jeff Probst that he said to play for you.
Kim,
yeah.
You're always so good at wrapping up your story. So when you look back on this, Winners at War, what was it about?
Kim, you are so good at wrapping up your story.
No. In real life, I said, I am. And he goes, let me say that right back to you. And then I want you just to go into it. Don't say I am.
That was such a weird thing to say to somebody. You're so good at wrapping up your story. How often do you do that?
But Rob, it's been really great talking to you tonight. And I just want to say I appreciate it. No, I'm not. I'm not good at that. Jeff doesn't know me.
You seem like a person that would be very good at wrapping up your story.
Why? I am?
I guess so. I mean, you have kids that are eating an ice pop that's going to be done at any second. So it seems like a good
time. No, time is limited.
To wrap up your story. But Kim, I know you're limited on time, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate any time I get to talk to you. It means a ton to me. It was so great when you came out to see us, when we came to Texas a couple of years ago. And that was so great. When we went to the Millennials versus Gen X finale, and we got to talk to Adam Klein on the red carpet. Your tribe mate. That. Yeah.
My tribe mate, Adam. I know. I do think about that. Well, thank you for having me. Seriously. I am always honored. I'm so impressed with you and what you're doing. I think it literally is like, it's the most fun. I mean, for Survivor fans, this is the next best thing from the show. So
yeah,
we love you.
Kim, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to tell people to check out? Are you on Cameo?
I am on Cameo. Yeah. I am embarrassed to get on Cameo because I felt like I was saying like, hey, pay me to say hi to you. But I am. And it's been fun. I'm actually really enjoying that. It's giving me like in the afternoons, I make myself a nice coffee and go sit out and do my cameos.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fun thing coming up, but I can't really talk about it next. But Ooh. Follow me on my Instagram and hopefully I'll be able to like, you know, announce it soon.
Okay. So, do you do a lot of Instagram live or anything?
I don't yet. I don't know. I don't know. I don't do Instagram live, but I'm doing a lot of stuff in like the home renovation space, doing design.
Very nice.
And anyway, I'll have something there soon.
Okay. All right. And Kim, where can we find you on all of those platforms?
Only I'm on Twitter, but I don't do it a lot. But on Instagram, I'm Kim Spradlin Wolf, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I have a check mark now, so if you can't find me.
Oh, you're verified? Look at you.
Ago, I got really excited.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing that I was happy about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kim, thank you so much for spending time with us. This was so great. I really love to get all your insight on this. And it was so much fun watching you go back out and play again.
It was fun. Thanks for having me.
You got it. I'm just gonna
have
stop
a good night.
You're gonna stop recording. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Kim, thank you. All right, everybody, there you have it. Kim Spradlin, so appreciative of Kim making some time to talk to us. I know that it is not easy for these survivors, especially the survivor parents right now, to find time to do these interviews. So really appreciate the great Kim Spradlin making some time to talk with us here on this podcast. That was so much fun. So great to get to catch up with Kim. And we're going to have some more of these interviews coming your way. I'm going to talk with Adam later on this weekend. That should be probably up for you on Monday. And then next week, we'll have interviews as well. We have interviews scheduled with Ethan and with Michelle later on next week. So be on the lookout for those as well. Not to mention everything else that we're going on with Robin Akiva Need a Podcast and News AF. So check that out as well in your podcast feed, robswebsite.com/iTunes. And if you're a Big Brother fan, we just got started with Taryn Armstrong is joined by Mary Kwiatkowski in the Big Brother 4 blockumentary. If you want to check that out, that is up in our Big Brother podcast feed, where that Taryn and I went back and rewatched all of Big Brother 2, Big Brother 3. Those are audiobooks that you could buy and listen to. But for this one, we figure with everybody being around right now, it was a good time to go back to the blockumentary. Taryn and Mary have gone through it all. And this one is not for purchase, but completely for free. If you head on over to our Big Brother podcast feed or on robiswebsite.com, and you can listen to our weekly rewatch of Big Brother 4 along with Taryn Armstrong. All that is made possible by the support of our patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, who support content like that and shows like this. And then we've got so much going on, of course, this weekend with our patron podcast feed. We'll be doing a Facebook Saturday coming up this weekend. So if you want to be part of the fun and go behind the scenes, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Okay. Hope you enjoyed this interview with Kim Spradlin. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.